This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Yesterday, federal prosecutors announced they had indicted a man who had long been former House Speaker Michael Madigan's right-hand man. Timothy Mapes was Madigan's chief of staff. He was also clerk of the Illinois House and director of the Democratic Party of Illinois. But more than that, Mapes was a gatekeeper for Speaker Madigan. And by many accounts, he relished the role. He's said to have kept a sign in his Capitol office referencing a scene from The Wizard of Oz.
If you please, sir, we want to see the wizard right away, all four of us.
Orders, huh? Nobody can see the Great Oz, not nobody, not nohow.
Oh, but please, it's very important.
And I got a permanent just for the occasion.
Not nobody, not nohow.
Joining us now to talk more about the indictment and what it means for the ongoing investigation into former Speaker Madigan is Tony Arnold. He's politics reporter for public radio station WBEZ in Chicago. He's been covering this investigation for years. Tony, welcome back to the show. Good to talk with you.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Listeners, we always want to invite you to join our conversations. If you have questions or comments, 800-222-9455 is the number, 800-222-9455. Tony, we've got a lot of ground to cover, not a lot of time to do it in. So let's begin. What have the feds accused Timothy Mapes of doing?
They accuse him of lying or committing perjury and obstructing justice while talking to a grand jury. This is a grand jury that's been convened to investigate really some of the claims that have come out of the ComEd, Commonwealth Edison, corruption scandal, in which ComEd has admitted, as a company, it has admitted that it embarked on a years-long effort to bribe the former Illinois House Speaker, Michael Madigan, in exchange for favorable legislation. And the way that they said that the company did that was offering jobs, contracts, internships, to people that Madigan wanted, his allies, his friends, people in his ward, in exchange for legislation. Now, Madigan denies any wrongdoing, denies any kind of bribery scheme, having a role in any of this, and Madigan himself faces no charges. However, here, after this indictment yesterday, now Madigan's chief of staff, as you said, his right-hand man, the man who controlled who got into Madigan's office, has now been indicted and scooped up in all of this.
I suppose we should mention Timothy Mapes' lawyers issued a statement saying he testified truthfully in the grand jury. His honest recollections in response, and I'm quoting here, in response to vague and imprecise questions about events that allegedly took place many years ago simply do not constitute perjury. This case, of course, is not about him, but about the government's continued pursuit of his former boss. Tim Mapes has in no way engaged in obstruction of justice and looks forward to prevailing at trial when all of the facts are aired, end quote. So, Tony, what does this indictment, does it offer new information about the broader investigation into the former speaker and his circle?
It does. This indictment for the first time really lays the investigation at Madigan's feet. Now, Madigan's not named because he's not been accused of wrongdoing. He's referred to as Public Official A, the former Illinois House Speaker. And the former Illinois House Speaker is Michael Madigan because he's been the only House Speaker since the 90s. So it's clearly about Madigan. Now, what's interesting and noteworthy about how the feds have indicted Mapes here is they brought him in to testify to a grand jury. And as part of that testimony, they said, you have immunity, you know, and then they asked him these questions about what he knew about how Madigan's operation worked, particularly how Madigan would interact with another gentleman, Michael McLean, ComEd's top lobbyist, a longtime confidant and consigliere to Madigan. And Mapes basically told the grand jury, I don't really recall how that relationship worked. I don't know if McLean was carrying out orders from Madigan or being Madigan's messenger. And that's what the feds are saying Mapes lied about. So they're not actually indicting Mapes for being a part of the overall scheme, right? This indictment is really about Mapes saying, yeah, I don't know. I don't recall. I don't know what the relationship was there between McLean and Madigan, how that worked. And the feds say that is a lie.
Interesting. So, I mean, what, you know, I was reminded of the movie Goodfellas in reading about this, because what Mapes was apparently saying in the grand jury is that Madigan operated where it was sort of like he was the hub and he had individual spokes, but the spokes didn't really know what the other was doing. And there's a clip from the movie that really gets at this, you know, the way the speaker is thought to have operated, as Mapes is suggesting. This bit of voiceover is about Paulie, the boss of a mob organization, and how he conducted business.
For a guy who moved all day long, Paulie didn't talk to six people. If there was a union problem or, say, a beef in the numbers, then only the top guys could meet with Paulie to discuss the problem. Everything was one-on-one. Paulie hated conferences. He didn't want anybody hearing what he said, and he didn't want anybody listening to what he was being told.
So Tony Mapes got at this in his grand jury testimony, right? He basically said, if Madigan had people do things for him like I did things for him, he didn't distribute information freely. What do you think of that?
Yeah, keep in mind here the way that Madigan operated as House Speaker. He was very insulated. And as you mentioned at the beginning too, nobody, you didn't just get a meeting with Madigan. He wasn't accessible unless he wanted to be. He wasn't accessible to press, and he wasn't accessible to people in the State House. And his relationship here with Michael McLean, who I should note has also been indicted for his role in the ComEd scheme and has also pleaded not guilty. Everyone knew, it was well known that McLean was operating with the line to the Speaker's office, to Madigan himself. They were very close, and we've done stories that show just the emails that McLean would send on behalf of his friend with a capital F. He didn't use Madigan's name in writing. He talked about his friend. And in fact, we've written stories about how McLean was even brought on to help edit and write Madigan's inaugural speeches. That's how close these two were. So for Mapes to kind of say, I don't really remember, I don't recall if McLean was working on behalf of Madigan, coming from the Madigan's chief of staff, it's an astounding statement, because the building, everyone in Springfield knows that McLean and Madigan were very, very close. That's not to discredit anything that Mapes' attorney has said about denying the charges here. And if anything, is it Mapes' attorney in his statement is accurate in saying that this investigation is about Michael Madigan, the indictment pretty much it says as much, that it's about Michael Madigan.
Yeah, and maybe worth noting here that Madigan himself is not thought to have used email. He famously, supposedly, did not have a cell phone. I've heard from staffers who said you always had to be on alert for when a 312 number called your phone, because you never knew if it was the speaker in, you know, back of a restaurant or something like that. And yet, Mr. McLean was a prolific emailer, as your reporting has shown, you know, in a number of cases that are even tangential to the ComEd investigation. All right, we need to kind of wrap this up. Let me just take a step back. Can you just remind us why this case is important to the people of Illinois, beyond the fact that it touches the speaker, but how ComEd's role is, and where, you know, we're at the end of the legislative session. ComEd's parent company, Exelon, once again has its hand out before the legislature, threatening to close nuclear power plants. You know, what are the stakes here?
Well, that's one just obvious and very important role, is that right now in the final 4 days of session here, there's a gigantic clean energy omnibus bill that's being negotiated in Springfield that potentially could provide hundreds of millions of dollars to Exelon, ComEd's parent company, in order to basically save a couple of nuclear power plants that are failing. That's just one component of what's an overall giant bill. Now, those negotiations,
we should say, failing financially, according to Exelon, there are disputes about that, and they seem to be operating fine. But this
the degree of which is definitely in dispute.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what is driving these negotiations, what amount of subsidies they should receive. And those negotiations, I think, it sounds like those have been in struggling lately to get anything over the goal line. And, you know, there's 4 days left in the session here. Something might shake loose in the final 4 days. It tends to work that way in Springfield. But look, the point is that this is, if you want to look specifically at how ComEd operated in the Capitol and got what it wanted out of the legislature, and, you know, to, by their own admission, corrupt, through corrupt methods, I mean, that right there is one way to look at this. Another way is to look at it is what Republicans are pointing out right now, which is that the state needs to drastically change its ethics for lawmakers who want to become lobbyists as soon as they leave the legislature, for what they can disclose, for whether relatives are on the payrolls, relatives of politicians are on the payrolls of these utility companies. And then there's ethics components that are also a part of the clean energy bill that is struggling right now. And do they need to agree to audits? Should ComEd have to pay restitution to its customers for its corrupt methods in the past? These are all things that are being negotiated. We'll see what happens in the final 4 days, but this is all mixed up together in one big salad bowl right now. And I don't know how it's, you know, what the final product is going to look like, if there even is going to be one, but you know, the timing here of this indictment against Madigan's former chief of staff is an interesting one, considering that we're 4 days out from the end of session and these major issues are still up in the air.
Tony Arnold covers state politics for WBEZ. Tony, always good to get a big state politics lunch salad with you. Thanks for being on.
Thanks, Brian.